Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Are y'all ready to fight the good fight of faith? Come on, let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it's a lamp unto our feet, that it's a light unto our path. God, tonight, Lord, as we study your word, I pray that it not go in one ear and out the other. But Lord, I pray that it gets inside of our heart, that it gets inside of us, and that we live, we breathe it, that we not be hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word. You said, beloved, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so God, tonight we come boldly. We come boldly before the throne room of grace. We thank you that your presence is here, that it shapes us, that it molds us, that it ministers to us. God, I pray that if we came in here weak, that we'd leave strong. If we came in poor, that we'd leave rich. Rich in you. God, if we came in weak, God, we came in sickly. Lord, I just pray for healing to touch our mortal bodies. Lord, as we study the word, you sent your word. Your word says in Psalm 107:20, you sent your word and you healed us and you delivered us from all destruction. God, we know the word is Jesus, but we also know the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know that as we read the written word of God, that healing can come in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I speak healing in the room. I speak healing over thoughts. I speak healing over situations. I speak healing over relationships that may have been strained even today. God, I pray healing in the room. You're the healer, so God, do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, hold your Bible up, and I believe we've been doing it long enough that you can say it with me. Are y'all ready? This is a test. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I'm going to learn from the ever-living, incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I will never, ever, ever be the same again. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You guys got like a D+, but we'll work on it. All right? you'll get better. I'm not here to judge, but I am judging you. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, Amplified Classic. Never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow. Everybody say aglow. Aglow and burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoice and exult in hope. Be steadfast and patient in suffering and tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints. Pursue the practice of hospitality. I want to go over the recap. How many of y'all were here last week? We talked about having a passion for worship. Come on. It'll change your life. It's changed mine. When the atmosphere or environment is charged with the presence of God during a time of worship, a door is open to a spiritual dimension, allowing revelation into our receptive hearts and minds. I want to remind you of what Matt Redmond said. I had a quote from him from his book. He has a great book on worship. So often when my worship has dried up, it's because I haven't been fueling the fire. I haven't set aside any time to soak myself under the showers of God's revelation. Often, time is the key factor. But if we can find space to soak ourselves in God's word, his presence, his creation, and spend time with other believers, then we'll find that revelation floods back into our lives and our hearts will respond with a blaze of worship once more. Karl Barth said this, worship is the most momentous, the most urgent, the most glorious action that can take place in human life. That's because it gets us ready for what's to come. Because God has placed his own spirit inside us as believers, it means we do not have to find a physical building to enter in to worship. Think about it. At the moment of your birth, you became a walking sanctuary, and your spirit became a temple containing the very presence of God. This occurs during times of corporate worship when we come together in unity and humility, worshiping the Lord from our hearts. The spiritual conditions become right in God's presence and power suddenly manifest among us In those moments, the weighty glory of God leaves the invisible realm and enters the visible realm, touching everyone present in tangible ways. I did a little recap last week, and it was this. Nothing can be compared to the moments during worship when the spiritual flame in our hearts is reignited with the presence of God. That's what God is interested in. He's much more interested in the condition of your heart than in the style of your worship or the format of your church service. Don't focus on what has been the best form of worship. Bringing in the sheaves. I like to sing at Thanksgiving, when the rolls are called up yonder. All right. Pass them down this way. Come on, somebody. When the butter. All right. So don't focus on what's been the best form of worship, or don't focus on who's been the best worship leader. I encourage you to concentrate on what is the most important, what's most important to God. Ask yourself, do I have an open door, open and pure heart before Him? John 4:23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The Father is still seeking worshipers who worship Him in spirit and truth, and the hour is still now that He is seeking them. The time is now. The time is now. The time is now. Become one of those true worshipers, and your inner dimension of spiritual passion and the supernatural presence of God will alter everything in your life. Are you ready for tonight's fuel? Oh, man. I got a little carried away with this one. I told Jennifer I got probably lots of mistakes in here. But I said one song tonight because this one's an important one. And the power of God will be in operation if you're operating with a passion for souls. How many of y'all are believing God for loved ones to come into the kingdom of God? How many of y'all believing for coworkers to come into the kingdom of God? How many of y'all believing for the Presidente to come to the kingdom of God? Come on. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we have seen that to keep the fire burning in our hearts, we must have the fuel of the Word, the fuel of prayer, the fuel of worship. Tonight, let's look into a key ingredient that will fill your heart and keep you blazing hot. And that's sustaining a pursuit of soul winning. Nothing ignites the heart like being instrumental in seeing someone rescued from darkness, delivered from the power of sin, or washed in the blood of Jesus and saved from an eternity in hell. How many of y'all believe, salvation? I'll put it up there. It is one of the greatest miracles. It's up there with the blind seeing, the lame walking. Because you're a dead man walking and nobody ought to forgive you. No grandpappy's pappy's pappy will forgive you. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. Put it behind you. He put it on the cross. Thank God for the cross at Calvary. Again, the early church was like a burning inferno. I like that word. With the fire of the Holy Spirit. And that fire was continually rekindled as believers surrendered to the power of God and carried the gospel to the ends of the world, or what they thought were the end of the world. Likewise, if we are going to burn brightly with the fire of the Spirit, we must be active carriers of the truth and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, or Jesus of Nazareth, to those who need to hear it in our own world. I used to tell preaching youth all the time. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I'll tell you where my world is. My world's at Pakisac. Come on. Lots of people take that as the world. Well, I got to go to Pakistan, or I've got to go to China, you know. Dobbi odigato, Mr. Roboto. I don't even know the language, you know. But how many of you know your world is the barn you're shoeing in? Well, you may not be, but come on. I'm preaching myself right now. Your world is your neighbor. Go into all the world. That's your world, right? So it goes on. When we as believers do our part to take the gospel to those who are lost, a blazing flame of the Spirit is ignited that continually releases the power of God. With that fire burning inside us, the gospel will detonate its divine power and spread like a spiritual flame across our neighborhood and to the ends of the earth, and we will begin doing our part to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave the church more than 2,000 years ago. How many of y'all know that commission still works today? It may be 2,000 years old, but it still has great vision. It still has great passion. It still is miracle working. A study of church history reveals a pattern regarding this eruptive manifestation of God's power. This power goes hand in hand with the Spirit-led efforts of any person, any church, or any organization committed to proclaiming the gospel to the lost. This supernatural presence is God's witness that the message is heaven sent. How many of y'all believe the gospel message is heaven sent? It's fresh manna. I don't care how old it is, it's still fresh today. When a believer or church is committed to the Great Commission and follows the Holy Spirit's strategy, that word is committed there, strategy to reach the lost, God's power gloriously shows up in that believer's life or in the life of that congregation. On the other hand, when God's people withdraw from Christ's command to reach the lost, the manifestation of his power begins to slowly wane. Amen? I've been in those churches. Raise your hand if you've been in those churches. They got like a billboard up there of all the people that have died in church. And it wasn't because of COVID. All right, moving on. In theory, God's power is always present. But the manifestation of that power begins to diminish more and more as believers begin to neglect their responsibility to carry the gospel to those who need to be saved. This pattern is proven throughout the course of church history. But God's heart remains the same for people to be reached through the sharing of the gospel. And when the gospel is preached by his people, his power shows up in a miraculous way. We see this, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, get that, has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Famous last words. Don't you know they're good ones? This passage is what is called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. In this command from Christ, we find important truths about God's call to every believer in every local church to go with the gospel to the ends of the earth. In Greek, the tense for the word go in Matthew 28:19 literally means to go and to keep on going. In other words, this was not a command given only to the believers at the beginning of the church age, nor was it a special command for those who would occasionally go on a special mission trip or feed the homeless. The command to go is God's call to the church. It is his directive to every Christian and to every local church for all time. God expects his children to be committed to taking the saving message of the gospel to the lost as a manner of lifestyle, and he promises that those who obey the command will experience amazing supernatural power to fulfill the appointed task. This is why miracles are more consistently manifested where the gospel is being preached beyond the four walls of a local church, because the gospel is the very power of God. Romans 1:16. This ought to be tattooed in you. I love this scripture. And I love it in the Amplified Classic here. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. You hear that, Facebook? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Put that on YouTube. I tell you what, I'll say it to my dying breath. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is God's power. Listen to this. This is the good news. How many of y'all know it's good news? For it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death, to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I encourage you to read the book of Romans. You'll see this power in operation. That's why they call it the Roman Road Experience, that we all need to be saved. Amen? A church that ignores God's command to reach the lost with the gospel will experience fewer manifestations of God's power in their midst, because the purpose for those manifestations has been largely neglected. They may have started out with a strong focus on reaching the lost, and they may have experienced great power as a result. However, if they then begin to draw back from this divine directive to share the gospel with the unsaved, they will notice God's manifested power begin to decline in their midst. I've not only seen this happen in churches, but I've seen this happen in people's lives before. Somebody who is on fire, what do? They preach the gospel. But when the light is out or flickers out, they blend right in. The demonstration of power is promised to those who go and keep on going, taking the gospel to the lost. This includes sharing the message with family, friends, and neighbors, as well as to strangers whom believers meet in daily life, on mission trips, and in every arena of life. Come on. Come on, somebody. To the ends of the earth. It's biblical right there. Well, TLB version anyway. Travis Lee Bennett. Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Our hearts must burn to see the unsaved brought into the kingdom of God, both near and far. It is our glorious task to rescue the spiritually perishing and to care for the dying as God enables us. God's promise to us. This is good. The Great Commission says the Lord Jesus made an astonishing promise to any believer, church, or ministry, organization, that will go and keep on going with the gospel to reach those nearby and those who are abroad. Let's look at it again. Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Amen. Those who take this promise to heart and obey it will be ignited and remain ignited with the blazing power of the Holy Spirit. The word "lo," this is not like a rap song, "lo." Shorty got low, low. Okay. In this verse is actually an exclamatory promise that Jesus makes to anyone who will, in any fashion, go with the gospel to the lost. Listen to this. Lean in on this. In other words, the word belongs to those who go. The only way you get low is because if you go. In Greek, the word "lo" would be better translated this: "And wow, will I ever be with you even to the ends of the earth." Isn't that good? That it even, like, excites him. I get to be with you when you share the gospel. When you're sharing the gospel, I'm with you. Isn't that awesome? Jesus was saying, if you will go and keep on going, doing all you can in every way possible to preach and teach the gospel, wow, I promise that you will experience my amazing presence in the doing of that. Christ's presence promises that his powerful presence will be enjoyed and experienced by all believers who are totally committed to discovering their part by the direction of the Holy Spirit and then going to the lost with the message of salvation. That means if believers want to experience the power of God, they must act on what triggers its release. Jesus' promise is that his supernatural, powerful presence will accompany all who will do their part to take the good news of salvation to others. The supernatural anointing of God's Spirit is available to empower anyone who will take the gospel to the unsaved. Vance Hafner says this: without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the preacher may storm, the teacher may made strides, the Christian worker made sweat, but all to no avail. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit to reach the lost. I'm going to say that one more time. We must have the power of the Holy Spirit to reach the lost. The full measure of empowerment to be God's witness is imparted to us when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see it in Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You could read that in Amarillo, the United States, and all over the place. Come on. But then it is as we go with the gospel that our obedience ignites the Spirit's power to be released mightily upon us and through us. We hear of amazing signs and wonders that occur on the mission field and wonder why we don't see more of these supernatural happenings in our own church here. It's a legitimate question, is it not? Why do most of the mighty deeds that astonish believers often occur where missionaries or frontline preachers are taking the gospel to virgin territory where the gospel has never or rarely been preached? Manifestations of God's power aren't supposed to happen only on the foreign mission field. The Holy Spirit wants to move right in our own neighborhood. And if you'll obey His leading in every situation of your daily life and go to share the gospel whenever He prompts you, God's power will show up wherever you are. Just as Jesus promised, His powerful presence manifests when the gospel is being taken to those who need to hear it. The purpose of His power showing up in such places is to verify that the message is heaven sent. The gospel is heaven sent. Do you want to experience heaven on earth? Share the gospel. These miraculous happenings are guaranteed to occur on the mission field or in any area of your own city where the gospel has rarely been preached. As you go in obedience, led and empowered by His Spirit, this is God's promise that His power will show up when you do your part by His leading and direction to reach the unreached. Honey, will you hand me some water? I drank some coffee right beforehand. It kind of dried me out. Mark 16. The gospel is for everyone. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents." We got to start doing that around here. I believe we'll have great attendance. Do we not? They'll think we're crazy, but whatever. John, you get on the keys. Come on, get out that rattlesnake. Pass me a copperhead. Come on, somebody. Oh, Lord. Have y'all ever watched that on TV? What was that called, honey? Rattlesnake Redemption. Is that what it's called? Oh, man. West Virginia church, that is a hoedown right there for sure. "And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, He was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. We see in this passage of Mark, Jesus was sharing His parting words with His disciples. Early Christians believed that the gospel was for every creature. It was for everyone. That is, for every human being on the planet. That is why they ventured into all the known world of their time to tell every person who would listen about the good news of Jesus' saving and delivering power. As we look at Mark 16, you'll see that Jesus promised all types of miraculous and manifestations of His power to those who would obey His great commission and go with the gospel to the lost. In Mark 16:20 says, "The Lord worked with them and confirmed the message they preached with supernatural signs and wonders." You see, the early church experienced the low that is promised to any believer who will go to the lost as Christ commands, as His Spirit leads. Early believers knew the power of God and experienced it, not because they were better than us, but because they obeyed the Great Commission and went into all the world with the gospel that attracted the power of God to them. Y'all believe that? These early Christians had been transformed by Jesus Christ, and they were not ashamed to speak about Him to others. As a result of their willingness to obey the Great Commission, a holy spiritual fire raged throughout the early church. From the beginning to the very end of the book of Acts, we read a safari account of Christians boldly preaching the gospel with miraculous results accompanying them. As long as believers opened their mouths to witness and invested their resources to share the gospel with others, the power of the Holy Spirit was manifested among them. It's still true today. Come on, how many of y'all believe that? It's still true today. If you truly desire to experience the astonishing and awesome power of God in your life, you must do what is required to release the manifestation of that power. And if the power of God is not in operation in your daily life, you need to ask why it's not. Are you fulfilling the divine command that always causes God's power to show up? Are you on the go, sharing Jesus Christ with family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, and other acquaintances? Are you giving financially to fund the gospel? If you get to this house, you're giving financially to fund the gospel. If so, then Jesus promises his powerful presence will mark your life. The trigger to the power of God. Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." In this verse, Paul stated the gospel is the power of God. The word power comes from the Greek word dunamis, and the old word that describes power. This is where we get the word dynamite. When you speak the word, dynamite comes out your mouth, right? This means the gospel is the dynamite of God. The word dunamis could also be used to depict the full force of an advancing army. This means that when you make a concentrated effort to share the gospel with the lost, that act is the very trigger that releases the power of God to advance on the scene like a mighty army to drive away darkness. Get that? Lean in here. To bring the light of God and to deliver his saving and delivering power to those who are bound and lost. The word salvation is translated from the Greek word sozo, a Greek word that depicts salvation, healing, and deliverance. This means when we are sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit to share the gospel with the lost, the very act of sharing it releases a divine power that supernaturally rips blinders off people's eyes and releases God's power that brings salvation, healing, and deliverance into their lives. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Are you guys getting anything out of this already? Come on, how many of y'all know the gospel is the good news? Paul also said that the gospel is the power of God to everyone who believes. The verb tense for believes in Romans 1:16 is very important. It describes those who are presently believing. This is not a promise for someone who believed years ago. Most people miss out on this, but you need to get this. This is not a promise for someone who believed years ago. This is a promise for those who are in the state of a believing right now, or those who have the faith in gear at the present moment. Isn't that something? That's in there for a reason. God's power is activated in people's lives like a divine advancing army when your faith is engaged. And how many of y'all know after Jude 3 tonight, I'm going to fight for the faith. I'm going to fight for it in my country, my family. Or what did he say this weekend? For me, for my family, for my state, and for my country. If you examine your own spiritual history, you will find that those moments when God's power erupted in your life coincided with seasons when you were really engaging your faith. Don't shout me down when I'm telling the truth right now. Dormant faith produces nothing. Dormant faith produces nothing. Get the seed in the ground. It will never know an ongoing experience of God's manifested power. But the moment a person puts his faith into action, dunamis power is released. This divine force will be experienced by anyone who is presently believing. Paul was so sure of this that he declared it when he was not ashamed of the gospel. Paul knew from experience that the very act of believing the gospel and preaching it to others was the trigger that always released the supernatural power of God. And this is God's promise to any believer or body of believers who will unashamedly go forth with the message of Jesus Christ to others, releasing faith in the unchanging promises of God. Why we don't. Are you ready? Many Christians are afraid to share the gospel with other people for a number of reasons. Some don't know how to share the gospel. Others are embarrassed to speak publicly, and still others are afraid of rejection. I've been rejected. Hi, I'm Travis, and I've been rejected. Hey, listen, it's going to happen, y'all. It's going to happen. But this is the victory who overcometh the world, even our faith. Listen. It's going to be a part of it. But the truth is, if you want to experience the power of God regularly in your life, you have to deal with the hindrances that have held you back in the past and make the decision to go so you can get the low. As you share the best news in the world to those who are lost, you will find there is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. Just as Paul said in Romans 1:16, the power of God will show up and erupt on the scene to enable you to witness and to remove the blinders from those who are spiritually blind. Let's be honest. Some people may not be thrilled with you when you share the gospel with them. In fact, it is probable that some will reject you. But that's all right. Jesus, his disciples, and other believers all burn with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and they also experience similar times of being rejected. But in spite of those moments, they also encountered and experienced the power of God because they spoke up and shared the good news with people who were prisoners in spiritual darkness. Can I tell you, when I was in Washington, D.C. in November, I don't know what attracted all these people to me. Maybe it was creased jeans and no mask at BLM Square there outside the White House. But they were on me like a spider monkey. And I mean, they got my face. They said things to me that I wouldn't tell nobody. And it was awful. It was terrible. But at that night, I mean, I was ridiculed. They wanted to get into these arguments. I was rejected, rejected, rejected. Then one night, this boy came up and said, "What are you doing here?" I said, "Man, I'm just having fun. Can't you see?" We began to talk, and I began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him, and I got to see the power of God into operation in his life. And here's the thing. If I would have given up by the rejection, I wouldn't have seen the power of God. Not only I could feel the anointing, the presence of God, that is very addicting if you've never had it in your life. And I'm telling you, it was worth it with the one. There was many times as a youth pastor, there was many of them that they ridiculed things, threw things at me, all kinds of different stuff. But I'm telling you, the one that got on fire for the Lord, it was all worth it. And the power of God goes into operation. So don't give up. All right? She'll come around. He'll come around. Where am I? The same goes for us. Where are you seeing that at? God's power will sustain you. Right there. Okay, the same goes for you. All right. God's power will sustain you every step along your way, enabling you to overcome everything that opposes your obedience to the Great Commission. I urge you to turn your focus to those who are waiting for you to share the message of Jesus with them. As you go, Jesus guarantees that you will experience his life-transforming power. Those who believe will receive salvation with all its blessings of deliverance and healing, and you'll never be sorry you opened your mouth or moved your feet or invested your money to get the gospel to them. You will never regret it. Even if some don't initially show interest, don't be disturbed by that, because they will never forget what you have told them. You planted a seed. And here's the deal. You may not bring that into harvest. There may be people down the road that water it, or you may be even the one that watered it. But here's the deal. You planted the seed, and a harvest will come. Even if some don't initially show interest, don't be disturbed by that, because they will never forget what you have told them. And even if it seems that you have nothing in your net right now, never forget there are many fish out there in your community, your region, and to the ends of the earth, who are waiting for you to throw out that net again at the God-appointed time. And the time is now, and the time is now, and the time is now. How many of y'all believe, you just watched the news, the time is now? A big key. One reason why some people are fearful to tell others about Jesus is that they have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They lack the full measure of power that God wants to bestow on them to enable them to be bold witnesses, fully equipped with the gifts of the Spirit. They are for all. If you were here for the last teaching of the Holy Spirit, they're for everybody. Everybody. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. In this verse, Jesus promised the infilling of the Holy Spirit will empower a believer to be an effective witness. The Bible says, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. To others, as he or she yields to the obedience of his promptings. Although someone sharing of the gospel always brings God's power on the scene, the baptism of the Holy Spirit divinely empowers a believer to boldly witness and to be used in the operation of his supernatural gifts in order to meet every need. There's been many times where I've been witnessing with somebody before, and they're coming at me with all kinds of things that I'm not ready for. I mean, y'all have experienced those things before. I was just telling Renee beforehand of a guy coming at me with theological questions. Well, I want to know how many animals were on the ark. What does that matter? How many of y'all have had those questions before where people are asking you crazy stuff like that? I'm like, that ain't going to make you a better human being. How many species of giraffes are on the ark? But I'm telling you, thank God for the Holy Spirit. There's been many times where I didn't necessarily know a question, but I gave the right answer because I could see it in their eyes. And sometimes in those moments, I didn't know what I was going to say, but the Holy Ghost helped me out with it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. Let's get the message straight. A common problem has emerged in the church today that must be corrected and overcome if we are going to be strong believers, have strong churches, and be a part of strong ministries in these last days. Before we go further, let's address this issue. God has ordained every Christian to carry the gospel message to those who are broken and in need of salvation, healing, deliverance, and restoration. Every believer. Every Christian, not every preacher. Can I tell you this? We love sealing the deal, don't we, Pastor Robert? I love to be the one who seals the deal for you guys. But can I tell you, you want the power of God in operation, you can seal the deal before you even bring them. Come on. You don't have to come to the preacher to get saved, to the man of God. But let me just tell you, I'm a little bit addicted to it, so if you have to, do it. But you'll see, once you begin to do it, you'll see the power of God in operation in your life, and you'll want to do it. You can lead grandma to the Lord. You can lead your neighbor to the Lord. Come on. You can lead. God's put it in you. God has ordained every believer. We are privileged to be the vessels of God. I went too early. Their minds and souls need to be transformed, and their feet need to be set on a path to wholeness in every sphere of their lives, in our lives. We are privileged to be the vessels God has chosen to do this glorious work. This transforming gospel is our assignment, and the Bible says that the feet of those who carry this wonderful message are beautiful. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, who publishes peace, who brings good tidings of good, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." That means our feet are blessed feet if we are counted among those who take this saving message to those who need it. Many benefits are made available to a person who believes in response to the gospel, and people need to be informed of all those benefits. The great bulk of what is being preached today focuses mainly on self-help, success, and prosperity. And grace, 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 grace. Right? Be very careful who you listen to. Come on, if the word ain't in there, I ain't listening to it. And if it's just one little measly little scripture over here, come on, I need to be fed the meat of the word of God. These are certainly among God's benefits that are good and necessary. God wants people to be healthy, to enjoy life, to be partakers of success, and be financially blessed. Amen. The truth is, where the gospel is working in people's lives, the power of that life-giving message always produces fruit in each of these categories, whether or not the subjects are emphasized. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good right now. All of these blessings are wonderful byproducts of the gospel message. I believe that with all my heart. Where the gospel is preached, what did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? Hey, number one is that the gospel is preached. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the saving power. And it can be the saving power in your health. It can be the saving power in your finances. It can be the saving power in your life. Come on. It's the good news. I keep doing that. Even lost people, if they live by God's principles, and I say this, even if the Bible was not true, I would still live by the principles of the Word of God because they work. Can live greatly blessed lives because God's principles work for anyone who applies them. But we must not forget that these types of tangible blessings, as important as they are for living life victoriously, are limited to life on this earth. As people obey scriptural principles, they can receive these benefits that cause them to be healthier and enjoy prosperity. But what if they feel healthy and enjoy material blessings right now, yet ultimately go to hell because they never understood that they must repent of sin to be saved and go to heaven? Dun, dun, dun. If that is the case, we have made a bad error. What is the point of it all if people are blessed right now but miss heaven and spend eternity separated from God? This is the reason Jesus asked this question, Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What a realization to come to at the end of your spiritual race, that we help people in life be healthy, successful, and prosperous, yet they ended up in hell because we didn't help them grasp God's requirement to repent of sin in order to be saved. I understand that many people are uncomfortable discussing or even thinking about the topic of hell. Hell is a reality, whether we like it or not. People we know will go there if they don't receive the message of Christ that can save them from it. Again, don't get me wrong. It is certainly good to be carriers of healing, prosperity, and deliverance to those who are broken or sick and are in need of deliverance and restoration. But we must always remember that the most important responsibility we have toward people is to deliver the message that Jesus died to save them from an eternity of separation from God. J.C. Ryle said this is so good. Hell, hellfire, the damnation of hell, eternal damnation, the resurrection of the damnation, everlasting fire, the place of torment, destruction, outer darkness, the worm that never dies, the fire that is not quenched, the place of weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth, everlasting punishment. Man, this is a country song right here, is it not? These are the words which the Lord Jesus Christ himself employs. Away with the miserable nonsense which people talk in this day who tell us that the ministers of the gospel should never speak of hell. Hell is real. Jesus vividly thought about hell more than anyone else. He talked about it more than anyone else. In addition to his authoritative teaching on this subject, there are other references to hell in both the Old and New Testament. Several particularly strong references to hell can be found in Psalms and Proverbs as well. Jesus taught that hell was a place of outer darkness, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of endless torment, a place where people are burned forever with fire and brimstone. We see it in Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Jesus also said that hell is a place where the worm never dies and a place where the fire is never quenched. We see this in Mark 9:44, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. A place of regretful torment. Save time, I'm not going to read that passage of text. He also said it's a place from which those who die to sin and can never depart once they have gone there. We see in Luke 26, the book of Revelation also teaches us that hell is a great furnace. Revelation 9:2. Hell is a place where inhabitants of hell can never find rest. Revelation 14:11. The book of Psalms and Proverbs explicitly tells us that hell is a place full of eternal pain and destruction, and that it consumes lost souls like a beast whose hunger is never satisfied. Psalms and Proverbs. If Jesus spoke so explicitly about hell, and since other scriptures throughout the Bible do the same, how is it possible that this vital and eternal subject is so ignored? People need to come to faith in Christ so their names are written in the book of life and their eternity is sealed in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. It's essential that we take the message of Jesus' work on the cross to the unsaved and do our part to fund the gospel so it can be carried to others who have never heard it. This matter of heaven and hell, heaven or hell, is of such great consequence that God sent his only son to die for it. Theologian and author R.C. Sproul reminded us that God's mercy is extended to those who repent to the hearing of the gospel. Listen to what he said. God just doesn't throw a life preserver to a drowning person. He goes to the bottom of the sea and pulls a corpse from the bottom of the sea, takes him up on the bank, breathes into him the breath of life, and makes him alive. Oh, isn't that good? Oh, that's according to Ephesians chapter 2. This is part of our task, to take the gospel to those who are drowning in sin and bring them to the only, come on, the only, thank God for Dr. Phil, not Oprah Winfrey, you know, but how many of y'all believe he is the only life-saving message? Only life-saving message that will breathe the life of God into them and give them a place of his eternal family. Again, in Matthew 28, the act of taking the gospel to others is so important to God that when we go with the gospel to those who need it, it releases a low moment in our lives. The very act of going or funding the preaching of the message releases the power of God to get inside us and through us to bring salvation, deliverance, and healing to a lost world. What I am speaking to you about, if you will embrace it and obey it, it will put fuel on the fire in your heart and will literally ignite the blazing power of God inside of you. Get ready. We're almost done. It's 8 o'clock. Quit looking at your watch, honey. I'm sure, like me, that you are thankful someone loved you enough to share the Christ with you. What if that person who shared with you had taken a different route? What if he or she had said, I know this person needs to hear about Jesus, but I'm too busy and too shy to share it? What if that person walked away and left you in spiritual mess when he or she could have given you a testimony to bring you to Christ? God is so faithful that he would have sent someone else to reach you. But aren't you genuinely thankful for the very person who took a risk to make an eternal difference in your life? 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Can I tell you this? The biggest witness that you can be is in your actions and in your attitude. You want to share the gospel? Share it in your actions and your attitude. Because if you are a grouch, ain't nobody going to come to Jesus through a grouch. Come on. All right, it got quiet in here. But how many of you know if the joy of the Lord is your strength? There's been two different times at the anvil where I've had people, and I said this for years now, I can't say that, but I've led more people at the led more people to the Lord at the anvil than I ever did in the house of God. Because they would ask, there's been two different times they said, what is it that you're on? Ain't nobody fight a horse like that and still smile from ear to ear. And I know some of that is a little bit of my personality, but I truly believe this, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if the power of God is in operation in your life, it will show in your actions, Dad. As you parent your kids, I'm telling you, it will be a witness to somebody who needs an example of to be a father to their own. As you're an example to, as a husband to your wife, as you're an example, I'm telling you, that speaks louder than any word that can come out of your mouth. And as they see that on you, as they see it in your marriage, as they see it on your work performance, come on, got a bunch of lazy people out there. I believe the believer should be the one who works the hardest. Amen, Pastor Robert? I believe the believer should be the one who works the hardest. He's the one who has integrity. He's the one who hates lies. He's the one that no matter at the end of the day, he's going to stay to what is true and stay to the biblical teachings of the Word of God. He's not going to be stirring up trouble. The believer does not do that. He's not sharing secrets in closets and stirring things up. All right? And as you begin to do that, I'm telling you, you'll be the leader. And people will see it on your life. They'll come to you. He said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. You know what my prayer is that people ask? What is the hope that is in you? You saw the same news I saw, but the joy of the Lord is me and Bonnie's strength. Ain't that right? Yeah, I've seen the same news you have. I've still heard of the same cases. I've still heard of the same reports. I'm still hearing what lawyers are saying, what everything's going on. But I'm telling you, I still got hope on the inside of me. And it's the good news. It's the saving power. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the power of God unto salvation. Oh, man. Don't you love that verse? This verse in 1 Peter means, I've already described it, but you and I must always be ready for God to use us in, as His instruments to reach unsaved people. We are not inconsequential people. I can say that in my head better. People, we are mighty weapons that God wants to wield. But if we are to be used for God to the greatest measure possible, we must do it His way. As we receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and stay sensitive to His leading throughout each day, He will turn every one of us into an inferno of effective spiritual power that yields a harvest of souls. How do you sustain that power? You keep stoking the flames in your heart with the right kind of fuel to keep it burning. For one thing, as you pray for the lost, I encourage you, pray for the lost. Pray for those people to come in. This Saturday, you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for the lost. We're going to pray over these chairs. We're going to march around here. We're going to pray for America. We're going to pray for Amarillo, Texas. And we're going to pray that people get saved. Amen? We're going to pray for them. Pray for the lost. You will tap into God's love for those who are unsaved more and more. His love within you will motivate you to share the gospel with those who need to hear. And will absolutely keep that fire blazing inside you. If you are ready and willing to embrace your God-given responsibility to reach unsaved people with the good news of Jesus Christ, then get ready because you are about to detonate spiritually. Of course, it is imperative that you genuinely believe the gospel is the answer to all human need. If you'll go with the gospel, you will experience the low of Christ's power in your life. Then as you move your feet to go to the lost, open your mouth to speak to those who need to hear, and do your part to fund the outreach of the gospel to those in need. Your obedience will pull the trigger that releases the power of God that always accompanies the proclaiming of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said we are to go and keep on going to reach the lost in our nearby world to the ends of the earth. This divine mandate is to become our way of life. If you will embrace and actually act on Christ's great commission in Matthew 28, Jesus' promise is ours to proclaim, or ours to claim, wow, will I ever be with you even to the end of the world? Here's the last thing that I want to share with you guys is this. Your testimony. What God has done in your life, your personal testimony, I'm telling you, that speaks volumes in people's lives. And can I encourage you with this? And I used to teach youth this. Let's focus on the miracle, and Brother Daniel at Life Challenge, we focus on the miracle and not on the mess. Right, Barton? The miracle and not on the mess. See, I remember times even in youth ministry, somebody come share their testimony. And they talk about they were the baddest drug dealer in town. They had all this stuff. They had all these people around them. And then I got saved. No. You talk about the miracle. Let's not give any foothold, any place, or any glory to the enemy. Let's give all the glory to God. I don't want to talk that I was a lying, cheating, dead, beaten, two-time, and no good counterfeit punk. I want to talk about he saved me, he set me free, he healed my body, he changed my mind, come on. Yeah, just in time, oh, I'm going to praise his name. Come on. And so I want to encourage you with your testimony, share it. Share it with somebody who's in a financial place, you know, that's messed up. You can share your testimony. The power of God in operation, I'm going to talk about generosity next week. If he has rebuked the devourer for your sake, that testimony could be the thing that brings them to Christ. It's your testimony of how he's healed your body. It's your testimony of how he has saved you. Maybe it's in your marriage where that person comes in. I'm telling you, I see these as open doors. Gabe, can you agree as a horseshoer, you're like the hair salonist, right? You're like the barber. They just pour it out to you. And I'm like, the door opens and I bust it wide open. Can I just tell you about the good news of Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, take those opportunities. Take those moments to share testimony. And right away, I promise you, there's many of you in the room right now, you're thinking that I'm not qualified for this. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You are qualified to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just share what he's done in your life. Show what he's done in your life. Act like he's done something in your life. Amen? And if you need a little charge, we got a cattle prod somewhere, we'll put a little electricity in you and we'll go. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will fire you up to do so. Did y'all get something out of it tonight? I believe this, where the gospel is preached. How many of y'all believe in this house the gospel is preached? We're not going to go through a service without celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the good news, and it's the power of God unto salvation. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the good news. God, we're grateful. We worship you. We magnify you. And we thank you, Lord, that you saved us. Sinners, dead in sin, like dead men walking, as Ephesians 2 says. But God, who is rich in mercy. It's the saving power of God. And so, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us in here, I pray, Lord, that we're a witness to our children. God, that we're a witness to our coworkers. God, we're a witness to our neighbors. God, we're a witness to other Amarilloans. And Texans, may we be a witness in everything we say and do. God, I pray your light so shines in us that it shines before men, that they would see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I pray that you're glorified. You're glorified. And I pray, God, that people would begin to ask of the hope that is in us. The hope that is in us. Lord, I pray that we'd be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for the reason of the hope that's in us. May we do it with meekness, God. May we do it with fear in Jesus' name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God, give us wisdom. God, give us opportunities. Give us spiritual eyes, God. Give us spiritual eyes to see these moments this week. Give us eyes to see for opportunities to share. God, I pray for boldness, a holding boldness to come over your people. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.